Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Lydia Rothfuss and she's the bereavement coordinator at Cass County Hospice. Good morning to you, Lydia.
Good morning.
Lydia, holidays always present some, I think, extra challenges for families, for individuals and friends who have lost a loved one, who's passed away. So extra challenges. Let's talk about how we might work toward handling those challenges.
Well, I think for one thing, talking about the loss and talking about the person that you honor is an important thing. People tend to tiptoe around and think that they shouldn't mention the loss during the holidays, you know, pretending that it will mm-hmm. not be there if you don't acknowledge it. Mm-hmm. When in reality, sharing anecdotes, sharing stories, wrapping up a special memento and giving it as a Christmas gift to someone else who is sharing that loss. Mm-hmm. Those are all good ways.
Sometimes we think of grieving and being sad when, sadness is certainly an important emotion for us to express. But there's also that happy, that memory, telling jokes. We could laugh a little too.
Sure, a celebration of life as well.
Uh-huh.
So. There are lots of good ways that you can invent new holiday traditions that can honor the memory of your loved one. Like I said, you can wrap a special memento and give that as a gift. A lot of families have kind of designated spots at the table, and that empty chair can feel like the huge elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. But you can make that into a special honor chair. And rotate on special occasions who gets to sit in the seat of honor and take a moment to talk about the person who normally would have sat in that chair. Maybe share a favorite dish that they would have enjoyed at that meal. But to keep them a part of your tradition.
Mm-hmm. And really important that we each kind of work on that grieving and that sadness and that happiness and so on, because everybody is different in how they react and how they're what they're feeling.
Definitely. Some folks feel a total absence of energy, and I think it's important to give yourself permission to pare down the holiday traditions and the hullabaloo, especially when you're in the early stages of grieving. The things that we consider essential in the holiday, some of them really aren't that important for this year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the other folks may be feeling sad rather than that flat, drained feeling. They may be having an active sadness or anger is an important part of grieving.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you're feeling is okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes we feel guilty if we're celebrating the holiday and saying this is a joyous time. And, oh, gosh, we really should be feeling sad. Do you find people who kind of will express that guilt, or you think a lot of people hold that in?
I think that not everybody wants to say it out loud, but yes, a lot of families. And it's not even just grief about the death. I think of my sister, who had a son who was stationed in Guam a couple years ago at Christmas time, and she didn't feel like celebrating the holiday with her family because he wasn't there to celebrate it with
mm-hmm.
them. Mm-hmm. You know, we grieve an absence just as we do a loss.
Mm-hmm. And so that then connects me, I think, with the people who are in hospice or in the hospital or, you know, for some other reason, as you've just said, can't be there. That also affects how we feel.
Oh, definitely. I was telling you a little while ago, I had a workshop recently, and someone pointed out that when we're preparing for death, the family is, each member is experiencing the loss of one loved one. And the person who's dying is experiencing the loss of everyone they love. So you have to give some honor and respect to that as well, that it's not just those left behind who are grieving, but also those who are preparing for the fact that this is going to be their last Christmas with their family.
Really something to give some important thought to, I think. And again, every person who relates to that individual who's dying is going to feel a little differently about that, but maybe has different stories to tell and can, you know, just express their feelings in different ways. And, you know, we used to be taught, and I guess some people still are taught, you got to hold all those emotions in. It's not proper. It's not good to express those emotions. I think we've sort of changed on that a bit.
Oh, I agree. And I think sometimes even to the extreme that people feel like they have to express emotions that they may prefer to keep private. And it's okay to do that. It's okay to keep your feelings private if you like to. It's okay to have a little moment of breakdown if you need to. And if it's something that's more unmanageable, it's okay to reach out. We have bereavement staff here that are willing to support folks. We can offer referral. There are bereavement groups in the community that we can put you in touch with. It's okay to just give a yell out.
Okay. That support is really, really important. Now, when you talk about groups, I'm thinking there are various groups that are looking for programs during the year. Is that something that you'd be willing to do, Lydia, is to go out and visit with a group?
I would be more than happy to do that. Myself, Deb Lamb, Pastor Leon Hodges, who's our chaplain, we would be honored to speak to any group within the community about hospice care, about bereavement, about any component of our services. Mm-hmm.
And perhaps it's good for us to think about it when we're not in the situation to learn a little more and, you know, just open up our thinking to prepare, because we're all going to go through some loss sometime.
Well, and honestly, I think it's a part of being a responsible adult is to make preparations before they're needed. I often talk with folks about funeral planning, about advance directives, having a living will or a power of attorney. And it's not being morose or macabre to look forward to the future and say, I don't want to leave all these things for the people I love to have to cope with.
Another point sometimes when we're talking about grieving, I think, is that some people think, you know, after the event, you have a time for grieving, and then it should all go away. And yet, I've known people who have grieved for years.
I think all of us grieve for years, and different significant moments will bring that grief back. The birth of a grandchild, the marriage of a child, smelling someone's perfume at an odd moment. Smells are a huge trigger. And often the first year is difficult, but you may find that down the line it may get even more difficult. Hopefully it resolves itself, and to some degree that you can cope with it. But it's not abnormal for significant grief to happen much delayed from the actual loss.
So if it goes on and on for many years and not resolved, this would be a good time to seek out some help.
Anytime your grief is impairing your ability to function or to live a productive and healthy life, it's appropriate to get help.
Mm-hmm. Again, I think sometimes we feel guilty about, oh gosh, we shouldn't be going on with our lives, when the person who's gone would not, I'm guessing, say that.
Oh, definitely. If those who love us would want us to take care of ourselves. Mm-hmm. An important little acronym about self-care is the word REST, R-E-S-T. Basically, the R stands for reasonable expectations of yourself, and looking at what's realistic to expect of yourself right now. E for exercise, walking daily, doing all the little things to keep your body healthy, eating and drinking in moderation. S is to simplify your stress. Set a budget for time, social obligations, and gifts. Just make things as simple as possible. Don't put too much on yourself. T, time, for personal relaxation, for remembrance. Give time to others. Spend time with caring, supportive people. And if you do those basic self-care, it's going to make things a little easier.
Okay, self-care, REST, a really good acronym to remember. And again, we all need to do that self-care. And I think, again, some people think, well, I'm being selfish if I'm putting myself first, when in fact, that's not true.
That's why when you fly on an airplane, the oxygen comes down and they ask you to put the mask on yourself first before you take care of those you're flying with. If you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of others.
Okay. Some really important thoughts here, I think, Lydia, that we just kind of put everything in perspective. But if we need help, well, you're here. Lots of other folks are here. You'd be glad to visit folks. And how can we get a hold of you, Lydia?
I'm at Cass County Home Care and Hospice. The number is 243-8006. My name is Lydia, and I'll be happy to help in any way that I can.
Okay, we want to thank you very much, Lydia Rothfuss, who is the bereavement coordinator at Cass County Hospice, for visiting with us today. And until next time, here's a thought. There is nothing deep down inside us except what we put there ourselves.